It's all debatable, but it is the news, according to me. Well, good Tuesday morning. Here it is, Tuesday morning, and as promised, I am on the boot. I'm on the boat this morning. I've been up since about, it's Tuesday, September 10th, 7:20 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm sorry, Central Standard Time. It is 8:20 Central Eastern Standard Time. I'll get it right. I'm talking like Joe Biden right now. Eastern Standard Time, it's 8:21 a.m. on September, still September 10th, 2024. It took me almost a year to say that whole intro, but there it is. There you go. Just a few things happening in our world today. We have, today's the big day. Supposedly, there's going to be a debate tonight. There's been some prognosticators out there, some of these people who have clickbait headlines. I think some of these people are just ridiculous with their clickbait. Some of the thumbnails I see and some of the things, it's all over. It's this is that. Oh, it's her, you know, so-and-so's campaign is imploding. This has happened. Oh, it's a shocker. Oh, whatever. Just all this different clickbait stuff that's out there, folks. Just, you have to just kind of take some of this stuff with a grain of salt because it's just, they're just trying to get somebody to click on theirs. And apparently it works because they keep doing it. They've been doing it for years. H.A. Goodman, unfortunately, I used to listen to H.A. Goodman all the time. I don't listen to him as much anymore. He's been rather inaccurate. I think it's mostly wishful thinking on a lot of these people's parts, what they say. It's kind of this wag the dog syndrome that you think that you're going to have some kind of influence by saying something that's out there, that you think you're going to start a trend, you're going to start something viral. They're trying to get something to go viral. And of course, when something that they say does happen, then they go back. Hey, remember that show I had 8 months ago, that I had that one show where I said something, and I was right about that. You had about 4,000 other things that you said since then that were wrong. So how are we supposed to take this, you know, we're supposed to take everything now going into the future that you're right? So I don't know. Now I am hearing some actual real tremblings, if you will, little mumblings here and there about the possibility of you-know-who resigning before the election. I think it all depends on how this debate goes. I guarantee you they have already decided on what the talking points will be after the debate tonight. Kamala will be the ultimate champion. She will be the, oh, this is amazing. She was on point. She really stabbed, you know, Donald Trump several times with this particular thing or that particular thing. Got him good. Oh, she really nailed it to him there. Really took him to task there. Took him to the carpet. Whatever they're going to say. All these things that they're going to say about how they, you know, they completely was defeated. There's no coming back from this. Just to tell you how ridiculous the gaslighting is, Dick Cheney apparently has come out and endorsed Kamala Harris, or says he's going to vote for her. He's not necessarily endorsing her, but he's going to be voting for Kamala Harris. First of all, my first thought was, who was Dick Cheney exactly? Who is he again? Not that he was inconsequential to our country, because he was actually very influential with the Halliburton military-industrial complex guy. He certainly was a warmonger, had a huge influence on the world, and many people's lives were lost because of the guy. The left called him a war criminal for many, many years, hated the guy's guts, called him Satan. As before Trump came on the scene, they had to have somebody that they could, you know, some kind of boogeyman. So they had him out there, and he was the terrible guy. Well, he has come out now. It switches, you know, because Liz Cheney, his daughter, is supporting Kamala, so he kind of has to go along with Kamala because he, you know, because his daughter's there. Once you have a family, you have to kind of, I see parents do this with their kids all the time. There's a certain amount of influence that kids have on their parents. And they'll go along to get along. Well, I don't want to ostracize or, disconnect from my kids, so I'm going to have to say I go along with this. That happens. I see it all the time. Parents are very strong on a particular social issue or political issue of some sort, even biblical issues and doctrine, and I see them sway just huge. They'll swing right over to whatever the kids say, because, well, okay, I'll go along with that, because they don't want their kids to be to disown them. That's what they. I get it. I understand it. I think my parents probably. I had kind of the opposite effect on my parents. It was kind of strange. My parents were raised very religiously, very very strong in religious in a specific religious denomination. Strangely enough, when they had kind of drifted away from church and from doing anything in that. They were. In a season in life when they were going to the bar, my dad was, he was smoking cigarettes and he was going, they would spend their weekends, they weren't living, they weren't immoral people, they weren't being, they were, just living like normal, like the world lives, kind of going along with everything. And all of a sudden I became, I was kind of catching on fire for God, and I was, doing some radical stuff and wanted to become a pastor, and was kind of still living in their home for the most part. I was kind of going to college as well, as so I was when I was when I wasn't in school, I was at home. And I was probably about 20 years old at that time, 19, 20 years old. Went off to Bible college, and of course that they kind of had a reawakening of some things. Started going to a local church that my sister went to, and they started kind of switched denominations, didn't really switch theology much. There was a look at the Mennonites and the Church of the Brethren at that time, back in the 80s, were pretty similar. However, the Church of the Brethren, not the Brethren Church, but the Church of the Brethren, the Anabaptist side of things, they were very, very much a part of this woke movement before the woke movement even started. Most of the people in the leadership of that church were most generally people from the 60s, who were the rabble-rousers, the protesters from the 60s, who then got saved and got into the church and started their little influence on the leadership of that church specifically. That's kind of where they got their foothold, so to speak. And they're in almost every denomination now has a group of people who were within, who are trying to do that. And of course, it works on the parents. And it's so you get into that situation where you have a family, like all of a sudden they are with a particular lifestyle that they're in, and they want to justify that. And so they start coming up with all kinds of weird theologies, looking at, changing scripture, or looking at the scripture that they, just redefining everything in their faith. And it just goes off in all kinds of weird, wacky directions. So, needless to say, that was my experience, and that's been my, not every Church of the Brethren is that way, but the at the higher levels of church government within the Church of the Brethren, I would say they are that way. And the Mennonite Church has become, there are about five main different denominations within the Mennonite Church as far as conferences go. And there are, there's Roman Catholic and there's other kinds of Catholics as well. I'm not going to get into the whole Catholic thing. There's some very serious issues with the Catholic Church. And I just recently heard a testimony about a guy who was a Protestant for many, many years and involved in certain types of denominational stuff. And then he ended up becoming Catholic, and how it just, just his whole experience, I'm sorry, buddy, but he was just saying a lot of things that were not true. And had a lot of things to say about the Catholic Church that are basically, that they're just, and again, this gets back to the whole thing of having a Western church mentality, which is, when we get away from the Judaic roots of Christianity, we start to, flail around with all kinds of weird things. But anyway, we have, I'm a little verklempt. Anyway, we have in my cup this morning, I have some sweet tea that I made yesterday. Brand new gallon of sweet tea at home. Made my own sweet tea. I have not cut up peaches. We have some peaches. I haven't cut them up yet to put in my tea yet, because I had some apple cider left in this particular cup. And I decided to just throw the sweet tea in with this apple cider, which gives it kind of a little apple-y flavor. Kind of a good little... It's a little bit watered down because I did put quite a bit of ice in this, but... And the ice melted somewhat, but it is good. I already had my chai this morning, so I don't have any chai. I've already had the chai. So you'll just have to hear the remnants of the chai gurgling in my stomach this morning is all you're going to hear. You're not going to hear me slurping it, but you will be able to hear me slurp the... The sweet tea. I do have some ice. The ice maker's been busy this morning here on the boat. I'm on the boat, by the way. And I do have another little sidekick bottle here with some water in it. But other than that, a few things I want to talk about today. One of the things that's coming out, and one of Robert Gavea went over this pretty exhaustively. He was. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I do have a tendency to be very opinionated about some things. And of course, I'm not a financial counselor by any means as well, but I do want to get into this thing. Robert Gavea did a very good job of going through this process of what is happening in the state of Michigan and some other states as well. This has been happening as well, but this is the state of Michigan is a perfect example. Now you have to understand. I think Arizona was. I think there was only, about 11,000 votes that were. That won that election. Georgia was the same way. Georgia was a very close race as well, within 20,000 votes, I think, in both of those states. Now, when you consider the fact that there, now here's what's really aggravating. I think it was Arizona. It may have been Michigan. I'm pretty sure it was Arizona. They found 34,000 people on the voter rolls, on the voter registrations, that are not residents of the United States. I believe that's the case. I mean, it may have been residents of Arizona. But many, many, many of them, tens of thousands of them, were not on the voter roll. At least 10,000 of them were not U.S. citizens. Now, the problem with this is, they'll tell you, it's illegal for them to vote. It's not legal for them to vote. Anytime you say something about that, well, it's not legal for them to vote. It's illegal for them to vote. It's already illegal for them to vote. Yeah, it's illegal. That's the problem. They're breaking the law. That's the problem. They shouldn't even be on the registration rolls. And yet, the Democrats are fighting against removing them from the rolls. Why would they do that? Why would they oppose, if they're so concerned about free and fair elections, if they're so concerned about democracy, why would they be so concerned about having people on the registrations that are not supposed to be there? Why would they be concerned about them being taken off? I do not understand this at all. These people are so disingenuous, so unaware of their own hypocrisy is the only way I know to explain it, is that just they're just, it's just hypocrisy. To go on and on about being concerned about our democracy, being concerned about the free and fair elections, about voter disenfranchisement, You realize that for everybody who votes that shouldn't be allowed to vote, that's illegal, that's, every illegal vote, it dilutes someone else on the other side. It takes away your vote. If I vote one way and that other person votes another way, this illegal person votes, they have just now canceled my vote. Well, they fully well know this. And they fully well know that most of the people who are on the voter registrations illegally are not voting Republican. That's why they want them on the ballot, on the registration roll. It makes no sense for them to not. Why wouldn't you oppose having someone taken off the voter registration roll if they shouldn't be there, if it's illegal for them to be on there? If it's illegal for them to vote, why do they care if they get taken off or not? They should be out there pounding the pavement as well, saying this person needs to be removed, if they really care so fervently about their democracy. Well, they care about their democracy. Their power is what they care about. There were 34,000 of them. 34,000 on the rolls that should not be there. Isn't that a bit of an issue? Now we've got in the state of Michigan, here's what we have going on in the state of Michigan. RFK Jr. wants his name removed from the ballot. He has filed paperwork to have it done, to have his name removed from the ballot. So that when people go in to vote, they can't vote for RFK Jr. The state is opposing him, saying he can't remove his name from the ballot. Not that they can't do it. He just hasn't cited any kind of law that says he can have his name removed. Now, I guarantee you, if Donald Trump walked up to them and said, well, I'd like to have my name removed from the ballot, they will do it before he gets the period on the sentence. Because they know this benefits them, because people who will potentially vote for Trump might vote for RFK Jr. This is how deceitful, conniving, deceptive, unrealistic these people are. And they do this with impunity in their heart, thinking that they are serving the better, the greater good. Because orange my bad. Oh, they foam at the mouth with DTS. TDS, I guess it is, Trump Derangement Syndrome. Donald Trump Syndrome or Trump Derangement Syndrome. They can't stand this guy. Now, it's interesting. I just heard a report this morning that a fellow you might have heard of, his name is Elton John, was confronted recently about he's been very apolitical. He has never really come out, endorsed anybody, really said anything. But he was, of course, they had to bring it up. So they asked him about, and I believe they asked him this question with the intent that they thought that they were going to get a particular answer from him. They didn't get the answer they wanted. He said, this commentator asked him, said, how did you feel about, Elton John wrote a song called Rocket Man. Rocket Man, it's going to be a long, long time. Yeah. So he wrote this song, been around for 50 years. And he asked him the question, how did you feel about Donald Trump using Rocket Man what was interesting about it was that he just kind of come back with, I thought it was brilliant. He kind of laughed. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was great that he used that. And, you know, Donald Trump has been he's been to his concerts. He's been a fan of Elton John for a long time. Elton John played at Rush Limbaugh's wedding. Now, Elton John was not a big fan of Rush Limbaugh. You have to understand, he is just a statesman. He's a gentleman. He's not of the social persuasion that I would encourage him to stay in. I would say that, you know, his lifestyle choices have not been what I would say. However, he is still able to communicate with other people who differ from him. and people are able to communicate with him because he's a reasonable individual. These people who are off the rails, nuts, nutcases, think of where we would be as a country if everyone would have gotten behind Donald Trump's ideas of what we can do with this country. Instead of spending their energy and their time and all their effort and all the money and all the broadcasting time, all the stuff that they've done to do nothing but negative energy towards our country, towards his presidency, his administration. Just the radical, just lunacy that's out there. Where would we be as a country? The last 4 years have just been a disaster, in my opinion. And Kamala Harris, the Harris-Waltz ticket, says on day one things are going to change. Now, there is still some rumblings. I was getting into this a little bit earlier about the possibility of Joe resigning. These rumblings are coming from some pretty high up people now in the Democrat Party. Depending on how the debate goes tonight, in my opinion, they will most likely plan to, because Kamala is faltering very badly in the polls, and I know that their internal polling. See, there's the public polling. They play these games. Here's how they do this. This is the political theater that we're part of here. They play these games. And the way they do this is they keep the race tight. First they'll show Kamala, you know, way out there in front of everybody. She's gonna win. She has people. They convince everybody because she's leading in the polls. Now, Carville, he came out over the weekends last weekend and actually admitted the quiet part out loud. He said if you're up three, you're actually down. You know, you're just even. If you're up two, you're down one. He said, on average, because of the density in the population in terms of the cities and the electoral college, and this is the reason we have an electoral college, is because cities could run the entire country, because that's the high population centers. They might have a huge popular vote there for a particular candidate. And in the meantime, when you have that high popularity there, it doesn't win you any more electoral votes. They might win a particular area because of the, whatever state, whatever region, because of the high popularity in a particular high population in a particular area. However, that they only get a certain number of electoral votes. Now, that's what they're trying to change by sending 20,000 people into some place like Springfield, Ohio. I think like 20,000 Haitians now have descended upon Springfield, Ohio, not a very large town, actually. And it's changing the entire, and that's just one town. There's been many other towns that the same thing is happening with the importation of all these people. So, in the meantime, all this stuff is happening. They're trying to change the demographics so they can change the number of electoral votes in that area, as well as changing the number of potential congressmen, representatives in that area. Because those people can be included in a census, even if they're not legally here. Because the census doesn't take in for... So the census is not based on who is here legally and who's here illegally, or who's a citizen or you not a citizen. Which I think is ridiculous, but that's the way it works. So we have all this happening around us. Carville comes out and says, typically, Democrats poll higher because of the density in population and the way they run the polls. And then when they have the actual election, especially when you get closer to elections, for some reason, always get closer to elections, it always the polls always tighten up. Well, it's all that has to do with raising funds. They manipulate the people who are out there giving because they change their message. When the polls get tighter, they say, "Oh, we need more money because we're down here at the last stretch, and the polls are tightening up, and Donald Trump's gaining ground. We need to defeat him. We need to have more money." So that's what they'll do. They'll ask for more money because they're trying to defeat their opponent. So they use that as a manipulative way of doing that. Seems to be working. They've been doing it for many, many years. So that's how they've been doing it for many, many years. What just happened to my... what happened to my thing here? Oh, there it is. It's still there. Never mind. Thought I lost my recording there for a second. So that you have this continuation of the poll manipulation. Now, those are the public poll results we get. There are also internal polling. They get a lot tighter. They buckle down a lot more on the nitty-gritty of who actually is going to show up to vote on election day or within the... I think in some areas they're actually sending out mail-in ballots today. This week they're actually sending stuff in for mail-in ballots. Voting actually starts very soon here for some of these, within the next week or so. We have like a voting month now instead of just a voting day. And the Democrats play into that as well. They know that most Republicans show up on voting on election day. So that's when all the boxes have a problem, all the voting machines have a problem. Oh, I don't know what happened. Oh, this whole sick section over here where it's mostly Republicans, that whole area just shut down. All the machines just quit for some reason. You'll have to come back in a couple hours. Well, most of them have jobs. They can't just do that, so they just end up not voting. That's what happens. It's happened all over the place. It happened to Kerry Lake in Arizona last year. And you can't tell me that there's no nefarious activity going on there. It's just too coincidental all the time. It's one thing to have it happen one time in a particular area. It's another thing for it to just continue to happen in various states all over the place. And oh, water main broke. A toilet overflowed. And they don't even think a toilet overflowed. It was just somebody just playing with the toilet. So they had to stop the count. Had to stop counting. Had to evacuate the building. And then they kept counting. With boxes that they pulled out from underneath the table that was covered. Nothing to see here. Surprised they didn't think about shutting off the cameras or doing something with that, because they do that when, like Epstein. So anyway, we have all this stuff going on. This is direct election tampering, at the very least, when they start telling you that they're not, like, well, we can't take him off the ballot. We're going to keep him on the ballot. This is ridiculous. Somebody doesn't want to run. It's just okay, we're going to take your name off the ballot. You don't want to run. We're going to take you off the ballot. I just find it so disingenuous by the Democrats to do this kind of thing. Now, at the same time, you have all this lawfare stuff going on. Now, there's been some undercover stuff happening. Of course, they know it's like one of the top guys in one of the districts that the lawsuits that are going on with Donald Trump has admitted through a undercover operation, sting operation. By Steven Crowder, that they knew all along that this was all just to mess with Donald Trump. They changed rules around. They did all this stuff just to go after just one man. Now, the problem with this is the Democrats have no problem with this. They think it's fully justified because we have to protect our democracy. The end justifies the means with these people. They don't care how many people have to die. And this is exactly what was it, Joy Reid? She came out and said that Donald Trump faked this whole thing, this whole thing where this assassination attempt. And people said, well, people died that day, but somebody was killed. He wouldn't care. He would actually do that. He would actually, cause somebody. Don't put it past him. He would actually, cause somebody. Really? Because that's in their mind. That is projection from what they would do. Because they see it that way. They can't see the Donald Trump who wants people to stop dying on both sides of the war in Ukraine. It was the perfect answer when he was asked about whose side of the war is he on. I want people to stop dying on both sides. I want people to stop dying. He never got us into a new war. He had a plan to get us out of Afghanistan that would not have been so ridiculous in trying to get us out of there, the way that it ended up happening. All the things that they had, everything around the way they did that was just wrong. And of course, then 13 soldiers got killed. And now it's all Donald Trump's fault. And he's unsanctimoniously shows up for the families to lay a wreath at their grave. It's all a political stunt. There was an altercation. I'll just on and on with this stuff. I'm just amazed. And of course, is it any wonder? Of course, now there's even one guy on. This was hilarious. There was a guy on MSNBC or CNN, I can't remember which it was, talking about how this is just pulling the rug right out from under Donald Trump's campaign. To have Dick Cheney come out and endorse Kamala Harris. Just flattens out his campaign. Like as if this is going to be devastating news. Newsflash. The Bushes and the Cheneys have been vehement opposers of Donald Trump for I don't know how long. I think since he came down the escalator. They hate the guy. Jeb Bush was humiliated by Donald Trump in the debates in 2016 when they were running for in the primary. They have never let him off the hook for that. They've never come on board with the Trump movement. They are not conservatives. They are neocons. They are neoconservatives. They are establishment people. They are part of the uniparty. They only have their oligarchy in mind. This is like the Liz Cheney, Dick Cheney, Jeb Bush, George Bush. Too many Clintons, too many Bushes, too many Cheneys, too many of these establishment people who are around still to this day. All these, was it Chris, what's the guy's name? But all these supposed Republicans who were part of the Bush administration all of a sudden becoming Democrats. But Bill Kristol, that's Bill Kristol, that's who it was. They're showing the true colors in this whole process. And the true colors are not pretty, by the way. So we have a very, and going into this debate tonight, it won't matter what Donald Trump says, what Donald Trump does. He will be the villain, he will be the liar, he will be the Nazi. All the things that they will say about him, it won't matter. It just he could be perfect in this. Now, I think he has learned a lot. I think that the debate with Joe Biden, when they muted his mic, they meant that to be every time they try to do something to this guy, it turns out to be to his benefit, because they let Joe Biden talk, and that was the problem. They could have made Joe Biden look like the victim if they would just let Donald Trump talk. And I don't know where it's going to go. I think, you know, I've got some friends that, I've got one particular friend that I think, he's been very distant with me lately, and we used to be pretty close. And I've noticed he kind of addresses me now as just a person like any other person. kind of, you know, puts his name at the end. He still, the way he texts me, the way he talks to me, the lack of communication and just the way it's been, it's been become very obvious, I think, because I was pretty clear. I think he knows who I'm voting for. But he's just gotten very cold towards me, and just very obviously very cold, there's not that family kind of feel anymore, you know, that we had at one time. And it's sad to me because and to me it's just ridiculous. Now I've got other family members, other people that I know that I totally disagree with them on the issues that they're the party that they're selecting on, and they're Christian people. But I've flat told them, I've been very clear with them, I'm not going to let some politician or some political view on something come between us in terms of our relationship with each other. So that's more important to me. At the end of the day, we need each other. And we can disagree and have this disagreement, and we can have discussion and continue to have discourse on this. And maybe just at some point, we just have to agree that we don't agree on this particular thing, though there's so many other things that we do agree on. But there are some things I can't compromise on in terms of my agreements on things. But I'm not going to cut people out of my family or cut people out of my friendships because of that. That's just ridiculous. That's stupid. I don't like to use the word stupid very often, but that's stupid. So, they are interfering with the election by going through all this. And they know they are. They're all these lawsuits that have happened. Donald Trump would not have had a single lawsuit at all if he would have said, "I'm not running for president." He would have they'd have been moved on to the next person. It would have been DeSantis probably, and he would have been the next Hitler, and they would have probably sued him for whatever. Just it's amazing how all these people around Donald Trump and Donald Trump himself, they've gone after. Now this is the most. Of course, the other ridiculous thing is this, and I'd like to find the clip of it. I just heard it yesterday, and I can't remember even who I heard it from. This one lady, I think it was actually on Robert Gavea, watching the Watchers. He played this clip of this one lady talking about how the election, I think it was it in Venezuela, wherever it was. They've jailed almost 2,000 people who were part of the administration, people who were working for this guy. And the guy who is running against this particular person who has assumed basically had an election where he lost in a landslide, but he's claiming victory. On and on about this. And what if you'd just changed the names around a little bit, you would have realized that they are doing exactly what they're vilifying this other leader for doing. How many people have been arrested? I'm pretty sure there's over 2,000 people that have been on the FBI radar. In fact, they just cracked down another 100 here in this past week. I think they actually raided. There was another 100 homes that were raided in regard to January 6th. I believe that they've been. The last time I heard, AG. What's his name? Garrett. What is his name? I don't know what his name is. Merrick Garland. He was boasting about the fact they had already incarcerated 1,200 people from January 6th. Of course, many of those people were grandmas and people who were just happened to be walking around in the area. So what we're going to see tonight is going to be very interesting, and how they promote that thing and how it ends up turning out. I hear my music kicking in now, so I'll have to be moving my way out here in just a little bit. But it's been a very, very interesting day. God bless, folks. I will try to get some report on tomorrow morning in the meantime, and we'll try to actually go into some snippets of what happened tonight. So tomorrow morning, God bless.